I met a guy at a thing called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Have you ever heard of that? Anybody hear of that? A lot of you heard of that. We were performing that. I was the guy who got crushed by the wall. I died on that wall, and then when it was over with, you know, all these ways people die, and then, hey, you need to get to heaven. Altars were flooded. I remember coming to the altar, and there was a gentleman in an army coat, and he smelled like alcohol and tobacco. And he looked pretty rough. And he was kneeling down. I put my arm on his shoulder, and I said, "Can I pray with you?" And he says, "Yes." I said, "Would you like to accept Jesus?" And he kind of shook his head. And then everybody was invited to a room to the side where we could counsel and meet with and get information and follow up. And so as I spoke to this gentleman, I said, "Would you like to accept Jesus?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Would you like to pray?" He said, "No." I said, "I don't understand." He goes, "Well, I got to tell you something, Pastor. Guys like me, heaven doesn't want me, and hell's afraid I'll take over." And I said, "You know what? I never forgot that." I said, "You know, hell's not that afraid of you. And heaven wants you more than you'll ever know." He didn't pray that prayer with me. He walked out. But you know how many people I meet all the time that go to church? And they feel like, "You know what? I know God's forgiveness. But you know the hardest breakthrough today is not your finances." That's a tough one, and we're working on that. We're going to help you guys break through that. It may not even be your relationships. You can start over in those. You know the hardest breakthrough in your life today is not knowing that God loves you. It's looking in the mirror and accepting that love of God in your own life. I meet women, and I see women all the time who just absolutely struggle with who they are. They are constantly trying to post things and say things and dress in ways to have someone tell them that they're beautiful. And they're trying so hard in the pain to know that they're loved. I meet men all the time who are struggling with the strength of who they want to be and do not feel strong. They're constantly doing these things. In Nicaragua, they call it machismo. Here, we call it machoism. I meet men all the time who are peacocking and puffing up their chest and pimping themselves in such ways that they're trying to be stronger than the next guy, and they don't love themselves enough to know that it's okay. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. I meet men like that all the time. I'm a man. If I'm not careful, I'm that man. It's true. The hardest breakthrough this morning. I've known this sermon for 2 weeks, and I basically almost have no notes because I have been praying. I knew God was going to have me share this. I just didn't know when. One of the biggest struggles is for you to look in the mirror and be what God called you to be and see yourself the way God wants you to be. Because this is what we see. We see this scaredy cat instead of this mighty lion. It's true. You know what I say? Get a different mirror. Because someone is telling you you're worthless, you're nothing. And you know who that someone is? It's not even the people around you. It's the voice right inside of you. And I want you to know something. You are from the child of a king. You are from the redeemed. And it's so hard for the redeemed to feel redeemed. Your king is a mighty lion, the lion of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, the son of David, the son of Adam, the child of God Almighty, the rose of Sharon, the fairest of 10,000s. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he is the end, he is all that you need. And you need to get that mirror in your bathroom this morning. We struggle with this concept. They can never change. I can never change. And I'm about to make everyone in this room completely uncomfortable. Because I see it all the time. I see it all the time. You see, my brother called me up about 2 weeks ago. I was going home from stockholders. And we're talking, and we talk all the time, and man, we just have so rediscovered our relationship in Christ and as brothers. He's 8 years younger than me. And when he was younger, he was just that kid I kicked out of the house or threw darts at or shot with bottle rockets. He's the kid I was responsible for that was the accident and spoiled. And I was the one that was punched. We just didn't have... We are just so close in Christ now, and just, it's just been incredible. He called me up, and he says, what are you doing? I said, well, we're putting in 14 hours a day. I'm just on my way home. He goes, no, what are you doing? I said, what are you talking about? He says, you're creeping me out. I said, what are you, you've been on my Facebook. And he goes, what? You're creeping me out. I said, what are you doing on my Facebook? Creeping on my Facebook. He goes, who are all these friends? I said, you mean like, he goes, some of these women that are on your friends. I said, oh, you mean like Ruby Diamond? Yes. I said, oh, she's a stripper. Yeah, she's a friend on my Facebook. I probably got about 20 or 30 pimps and strippers and ex-porn gals and things like that that are on my Facebook and friends. And I was like, I was wondering, the last few weeks, this stuff has just been flooding in, friends, friends, friends. And I said, I have about 3,000. I just go through and request, you know, boom, 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 boom. I don't know if they're from Iowa, Alabama, California, where I grew up. And once you get a strand of them, you know what happens? Vroom. It goes like this, if you want to friend them. You see, because a couple years ago, a guy I grew up with by the name of Kevin, we'll call him. Kevin was in my gang in California, the Flemingtown Hoods, when I grew up and did all the things I shouldn't have done in my life for several years. And Kevin is a friend for the last 2 years. Now, Kevin is kind of one of those pimp daddy guys. Because today, I get this friend request, and we've been on there. So my guess is, I don't know, maybe it came through some of those, just like. And but what really caught my attention wasn't necessarily Kevin. What caught my attention about 2 months ago that started kind of creeping me out too was I got this, there was a picture of a friend on my strand, didn't know who it was, Ruby Diamond, we'll call her. And there was a picture of a diamond. And I was like, what is this? And so I went into the comments, found out she's a stripper in Detroit. I'm sorry, excuse me. She's an entertainer. LLC. I'm not kidding you. That's what it said. Entertainer, LLC. To I don't even know what the place was called. And it said, one of the comments said, you're going to hell. God hates you. Strippers are sinners. Okay. I had to reply. I didn't know who this person was. But I thought, okay, wow. And I put on there, hi. And I didn't do it in public because there's nothing biblical if this person thought that they were doing something to witness, because that's how most people witness. Or grab a picket sign and go down to the strip club and sit in the parking lot and picket. I said, okay, well, that's not me. We'll let the women's ministry go and try to talk to the gals. That's fine. But for me, I'm thinking, okay. So I just simply said, I'm a pastor. I know we don't know each other. I don't know how this happened, but I just want you to know, as a pastor, God desperately and infatuously is in love with you, and he thinks you're beautiful. And that's what I said. Didn't hear anything. A couple months go by. I'm in Chicago with our youth, and we're doing our leadership training. And we're there, and Dave, we're there, and all of a sudden I get this ding back on my IM, and it comes up, and there's a message, and it's Ruby Diamond. I went, hey, look, he goes, who's that? I said, and I explained the story. He goes, oh, okay, and it came up, and it said, thank you so much. I showed him the thing, the strand, and I said, thank you so much. It said, thank you so much. You have no idea what those words meant to me. I needed to hear that. Where is your church? Oh, no. Okay. Oh, things are going through my mind right now. I'm going to say things that I shouldn't say. Stop. There's only one pull in our church. Did I just go from here to here? And of course, this is the service they're recording. I didn't say this in first service. They all went home thinking, we're coming back. For you, that's the limit. I didn't like you before. That's okay. I didn't like you either. I love you. Doesn't mean I have to like you. Honestly, she said, this is what I need. Here's my question. Because I drove home that night when my brother called me, and over the last few weeks, from this time to this time, I've been having all these likes and pictures, and people are showing up that don't look like you and me. And my wife's fully aware of this, and right now all you women are going, does she know? No, she doesn't know. Don't tell her. Yes, she knows. Well, what did she think about that? Well, high accountability. Does our board know? Yes. I sat down with my board, and I said, I want to do that. And one of our board members says, I've been wanting to talk to you lately. I said, good. You should. I went home that night, and I told my brother, I said, you know what? I've got all these people on there that probably shouldn't be on there. You're right. That somehow, and I said, I've been thinking, I'm going to go home and just kind of purge this out and delete these people, okay? I woke up in the middle of the night, and God said, don't you dare. I wanted to purge them because that ain't right. God said, don't. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, you're the only gospel that they're hearing. Your Facebook has me all over it. That's all you ever do. If they didn't want to hear that, they would unfriend you. They would delete you. You're the only message that Ms. Diamond is hearing, or Kevin, who's the manager that you grew up with in a strip club. And over 2 years, I've been getting messages from him. Hey, would you pray for my daughter? She's in the hospital. Mitch, he only knows me from drug days. But now he knows me as pastor. And then the next weekend, he's got something posted. Hey, come on out, free drinks. We got former porn star dancing. I'm going, well, God, he wants me to pray for him. And now he's posting this too. He said, keep praying for him. He's responding his heart. Darkness loves light. Cold loves warmth. You're the only love in their life. That's true. You're sharing me. If they didn't want you, click. I don't want to hear this preacher. And trust me, I'm preaching. And I don't even have to meet with them in an unsafe environment. That message in Chicago that I posted on the net change, within 4 hours had almost 500 views. That's more than our congregation by about 60, 70 people. Is Ruby Diamond, what if Ruby Diamond showed up on Sunday morning in church? That was my question. Welcome. Because guess what? She's sitting next to you, people. Because you know who's on my Facebook? Because if I have to purge my Facebook, I have to purge the church of sinners. And God said, your life verse is Matthew chapter 9. And he just said, this has always been who you are. I would do anything short of sin to share the gospel. I would do anything short of sin to tell people that God loves you. Matthew 9, Jesus goes to a house. He was known as a friend of sinners. And he went, he saw a man named Matthew. He worked for the IRS. He took your money this April. Jesus said, hey, follow me. He didn't preach at him. He didn't call him a sinner. He didn't talk about how he shaved off the top of his own money because he didn't get paid for his job. He ripped off his own people. Matthew got up and he followed Jesus. And it says this, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and, there it is, Verse 11, well, when the church, when the Christians saw him, they said, why is your teacher eating? Why is he friends on Facebook with people like that? Because that's who needs to hear it. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I've not called the righteous. I've come to call the sinners. So if I have to clean up my Facebook, I better clean it up with the liars, because there are liars who are friends of mine on Facebook. There are gossips. Here's the biggest problem we have. People like that never change, though. They never change. They are who they are, and they'll always be that way. Our biggest breakthrough for the last sermon in this series is this. You know people that are doing things, and I have people, even my brother said, but people like that don't change. You could try to, but they don't. And I said, do you really believe that? And he said, no, but I see it. Because people can't accept that Christ has forgiven them. So David, our story this morning, David just rocks my world. David, who was a great young man who conquered giants and became a great king, wrote at the end of his life this song. And then he writes this, and it's called Deuces Wild. This is how I memorize scripture for me. I just called it Deuces Wild. 2 Samuel 22. And he said this, 2 Samuel 22:22. I think this is a great verse to memorize. He says, I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. In verse 23, he repeats it. He says, all his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. Arrogantly in 24, he says, I think it's arrogant. I have been blameless before him, and I have kept myself from ever sinning. Verse 25, so the Lord has rewarded me for my righteousness, according to my cleanness. I'm going, wait a minute, David, I'm pretty sure you committed adultery with a woman who wasn't your wife, Bathsheba. And then you sent her husband to Afghanistan to the front lines of ISIS and made sure to pull back your troops, and you committed murder and had her husband killed. How can you stand there and say? Because David in Psalm 51 said, oh God, my spirit is crushed against you. I've sinned. He cries out to God and he asks for forgiveness. And here's the end of my sermon. Do you really feel redeemed? I think I know God saved me. I can love other people. But the biggest thing for you is saying, I am no longer an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a druggie. I'm not a former druggie. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not this. I'm not this. I am righteous in Christ. Today, I stand cleansed before the Lord, and I have never sinned. No. That's what it means to be justified in Christ. I try to explain this to my daughter last night and a group of students. I said, tomorrow I have to get up in church and explain the word propitiation. And one of the girls goes, preparation? I said, no, propitiation. Propitiation. Propitiation means this, that I'm going to stand before God. My biggest breakthrough is when I go up before God, if I have any sin in my life, lying or cheating or stealing or adultery or murder or any of this stuff, I'll stand before God. No, I'll try to get through those. No sin can ever stand before God. No sin is ever going to stand in the presence of a holy God. So in the Old Testament, they came up with this presence of God, God just in his glory in the holy place. And so the priest to go in there from the holy place to the most holy place in the tabernacle, he said, no sin can go in God's presence. Now this isn't the fullness of God, this is the glory of God. You can't even stand in there and not die. So to not die once a year to the high priest, he would go to the pool, the mikvah, and they would dip him 7 times in the mikvah. This is baptism. This is where baptism comes from. And they would dip him, I'm cleansed, and they would dip him 7 times and go through this process. Okay, I've confessed, I've been baptized 7 times. He'd get up and he would stand there with the other priests. They'd grab a giant bull and they would sacrifice this on the altar. And as they sacrificed for all of his sins, a bull, they would take the blood and they'd sprinkle it on his right earlobe. May my mind and all that I've ever heard, all my sins be washed away of whatever I've thought. They would sprinkle his right pinky with blood and say, may anything that my hands may have done to sin be cleansed. Then they'd sprinkle his right toe. May everything I've ever done to sin be, my feet have taken me to places. May God, I'm clean. Then he'd put on his ephod and his robe and he'd put on this thing and it had bells just tied around, and he'd go into the Holy of Holies before just the glory of God. As he stepped into that curtain, by the way, the one that tore when Jesus died on that cross and it was rent in two, he would go behind that curtain, almost a foot thick. As he would go behind there, oh, one more thing. The priest on the outer part would tie a rope around him, because if he walked in and there was some sin and somehow we missed it, he's dead. No sin can enter into the presence of God ever. So they had that rope, and if they heard those bells on his robe stop, he's dead, and they would pull him out because they couldn't go in. And you don't want to have a rotting corpse where the Ark of the Covenant is and the presence of God. So they'd pull out the dead priest and get themselves a new one appointed. Boy, I bet that was a great vote. You're in. Oh, no, not me. I think Bill goes. Who can stand before the Lord? So one day when we stand before the Lord, here it is. My soul, if I have sin in my life, and trust me, God can forgive every sin. See, we look at people like Ruby and Kevin, and we go, they can't come in here. Oh, God hates you. And yet we don't even look at the speck in our own eye. Because here's what sin does. When we sin, when we lie or cheat, or when we don't go to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, there's sin. That's my soul. It's attached to me, and I'm trying to break through into heaven. And God says, no sin can enter in. How can I get in? You can't come in. How can I get in? I can't get in. The wrath of God says this. You cannot get to heaven with sin attached to you. So if you have sin, you got to get rid of it. So Christ in his propitiation, it simply means somebody had to pay the price to wipe you clean. So somebody had to take that and become dirty, and all those sins had to attach to them. And Christ went up on a cross, and he took the sins of the world, and he took them to hell for 3 days where they belong, and he rose from the dead, brand new, victorious, left sin where it belonged, and through Christ's propitiation, his work, I now step into his baptism, and I am washed by the blood of Christ, and everything falls right off of me. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? That's what he does. And the question for you this morning is this. Can I stand before a holy God through the blood of Jesus Christ by confessing my sins? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If we believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. For with a heart you believe and are justified. And the word justified is exactly what I'm talking about here. Just if I'd never sinned. David stood before God through his confession and he said, I've never sinned. He broke through what we struggle with. I'm still. So if Miss Ruby comes in here, she's welcome. If she finds Christ, I'll get the women's ministry to go minister to her. Because you see, I don't have to go down there with a picket sign because they won't listen to me. I don't have to go down there with a bunch of men because that's wrong. But they can listen to my messages and go, there's a pastor who's preaching about God's love to me. I'll let the Holy Spirit bring the conviction of change. And Mr. Kevin can come into my church. And Mr. Kevin will find out that to be a real man, that God loves him, and he can be the strength of his salvation. So you tell me if Miss Ruby or Mr. Kevin is welcomed here at Grace. Because there you go. Because they're sitting right next to you, and you don't even know it. You have no idea what people's past or their presence lock inside, and they are breaking through. They're saying, God, help me. And I want you to know, they sit next to you every Sunday. They preach in a pulpit every Sunday. They sing worship every Sunday. And we're breaking through, sister. We're breaking through. Who I am is not who I'm going to be. And I can guarantee you this, my past is in my past, and God has redeemed me. I've been dipped in the mikvah, and Christ has been my propitiation. He took the wrath of God, and he satisfied it. And it all fell off. I'm new in Christ. I'm not the man I used to be. But I'm not the man I'm going to be. He ain't through with me yet. Our kids are going to come share that with you right now. Students, if you'll come up here. We're going to close our service to hopefully whet your appetite to say, I'm getting there today and bringing everybody I know with me. So welcome the first time ever our youth choir. Would you give them a hand? Use the stage, kids.
Oh, it drove me how
to watch.
Wow.